Well, welcome everyone to another episode of WA This Week. Look, we think we finally ironed out the audio glitches, but time will tell, won't it? Look, this week, in fact, on Wednesday, the Auditor General came to Parliament and presented this report. And that report is an information system audit of the state government 2021-22. Now, the Auditor General does this audit on an annual basis. And of course, information system security, as you all know, is absolutely pivotal. I mean, the attempts by bad actors to try and access your personal information through your phone, your home computer, is obviously something that concerns most people, I think, these days. But of course, if you're a state government where the state government, their recurrent budget is about $30 billion, they've got all sorts of the most intimate personal information on their computer systems. You expect your state government to have absolutely rock solid controls over access to the IT systems. How absolutely disturbing it was to hear the report by the Auditor General, Carolyn Spencer. I think I've probably said it before, an outstanding public servant. Someone who takes her job extremely seriously in making sure that government, and she's a fearless individual, making sure they're doing the right thing. And all you could give the government on protecting the information systems of state government entities is an absolute fail. And I'll take you through that. This was a sort of a top of mind and also a top line finding, and that is 13 of the government entities examined. So that's departments and other agencies. 13 of them had controls that were so weak that the Auditor General had to issue a qualified financial audit controls opinion. So that's another audit that the Auditor General carries out. But their controls were so weak that she had to qualify the financial audit outcome because you couldn't trust that their systems had integrity. I mean, imagine that. And you might say, well, so what? It's a doubling of the number of entities that had that finding last year, a doubling. Again, 282 of the findings from the audit of eight government agencies last year, 282, which is one half of all of the findings from the audit last year, are still unresolved. And 9 out of 10 of the agencies audited did not meet what were titled as endpoint benchmarks. May not mean much to most, but I'll explain a little bit. So that's protections around malware. That's, where you hear about, someone clicks a link and the next thing, their bank account's been emptied because someone's gone in through that link into their computer system. Or you hear of people's personal information being exposed or photos. Or in the case of, you would have heard of companies where all of their database of contact details and information about customers is exposed. So 9 out of 10 did not meet the benchmark for protecting malware protection, for removable media controls, vulnerability management. I mean, this is at the top end. And this is, you would say this is just 101 of protecting information systems. 9 out of 10 government agencies, Western Australian, McGowan government agencies didn't meet that benchmark. 8 out of 10 didn't meet access management benchmark. That's a simple thing like password protection, multi-factor authentication of users, admin access controls, that is, making sure that people that have got admin level access controls, and that's typically where they can access everything on your computer, that they're controlled, that only a few people do that. And the examples she gave were absolutely appalling. I mean, in one agency, a discontented insider accessed changed the password of another employee and then used that other employee's account to access information, confidential information within that department for improper purposes. I mean, in another case, this I'm absolutely dumbfounded by this one. In another case, a senior employee left an agency in 2019. As late as 2022, other employees were using that senior manager's lobbying to access the computer systems. That senior manager had access to information and systems well above the authority level of those other people. This is 3 years later. I mean, for goodness sake, you know, I've been in Parliament for 6 years, and, you know, I was in the private sector before that. Now, you know, the company I work for, yeah, had to change a password every month. And here you have an agency. This is the most basic level of protection. You know, and because why is this important? Because the government has the most intimate information. Imagine the information that the health department has, for example. And, you know, furthermore, where there had been evidence that systems may have been compromised, the agencies didn't even have tracking of who accessed. And because this was a problem, you may recall, this has gone back. We had this problem before where government systems have been accessed. The department didn't even have the most basic level of tracking who'd enter the system. So not only did they have no idea whether information had been taken or not, they had no idea who was doing it. Was it a bad acting individual? Was it a state entity that was doing it? I mean, this is really appalling. And I asked the Premier a question about this in Parliament, just brushed it off, their usual response, nothing to see here. This is really, really serious. The McGowan government does not take protection off government department systems or your personal information seriously enough. These findings by the Auditor General are profoundly disturbing, and we need to see the state government take this much more seriously. Again, they love to talk about they've got this program, they put in this new group and so on. How can you have a doubling of the most serious allegations that the system's so bad you can't even trust the financial databases for a financial audit of an agency, you know, doubling in a year and still have half of your major your findings from the last year outstanding? The government's not doing their job here. They're not protecting Western Australia, and they're not protecting the people of Western Australia with proper, secure management of information systems. Look, I might say while we're talking about security of information systems, a topic that's come up over the last little while has been the use of TikTok on the phones of ministers, on the phones of the heads of government agencies, or in fact on systems within government agencies. Why is that a concern? There's been a lot of concern globally expressed that the TikTok platform could be misused by a state agency to gain access to people's personal or private information. Now, I've heard some debate on this as to whether TikTok accesses a lot of personal data on people's phones and the like or not. But regardless, most of these social media platforms, in fact, do access a whole heap of other information on people's phones and computers, such as contact details, photographs, and the like, and also even how your device is being used, which is obviously all could potentially be misused by someone. The US government, the New Zealand government have banned the use of TikTok on any devices used by members of parliament and government agencies. In fact, 25 federal government departments have banned the app on government phones. And here we have the WA government saying that they're waiting and seeing. Now, I know that TikTok is used by a lot of people. I use TikTok as a social media platform, but how do I do that? And this is what the state government can do. How do I do that? I have the person that helps me manage my social media has what's called a burner phone, and that is a phone that is only used for that purpose. And that alone is not connected to any of the internet, the internal internet. It's not connected to any of the internal systems. So, and that phone is not used for any other purpose. So it can't possibly be used by a bad actor for the wrong sort of purpose, or to get into, in my case, I have, my computer system connects to the Department of Premier and Cabinet computer network and so on. So that can't be done through that. And that's what the Premier could do right now. He could ensure that TikTok is banned on state government devices, anything that's connected to the state government networks. And as I say, I appreciate that, TikTok can be an important platform but for communicating, and I think particularly to a younger, demographic. And so that's very important. But in that case, it has to be only through a dedicated device that has no connection whatsoever to any other government server or is used for any other purpose, so that can never be used maliciously. Now, the Premier needs to step up on this. He doesn't have to wait. He can do that right now, and he should. A topic that keeps going along, and just every single layer of this, I think, is a scandal that is peeled away, just reveals more and more information, and that is the issue of the sale of the Landgate properties at Midland. And I've talked about this a couple of times, and I won't reprise all the details, but my colleague, the Honourable Neil Thompson in the Upper House, has been following this very closely, and he's the Shadow Minister that has responsibility for lands. And, what Neil discovered recently was that property, as you may recall, it was sold for an incredibly low price. I mean, you got a property that was probably worth around $100 million or something like that. It was sold for around $17.5 million to a third party. And then the state government department, which is still in the building, is just continuing to do what it's been doing in that building, which up to that point before the sale was owned by the state government. What they're going to do is pay $85 million in rent over 15 years. Oh, look, there's going to be a lot more to go on this. But what we heard was when that building was sold, it was in the middle of the pandemic when it was sold, when everyone was terrified about everything. They used one quote. They got one quote from an agent in terms of what they feel the valuation of the property was, and then sold it. I mean, this is farcical. Imagine not even getting a proper range of quotes. Imagine selling it in the middle of a pandemic for an absolutely ludicrously low price. When the government is literally sitting on billions of dollars of accumulated revenue above budget because of the high iron ore price and because of the federal Liberal GST fix that was applied to the state. So they didn't have to sell that properly. This wasn't a fire sale. This wasn't the government going broke and, boy, they had to sell it to feed kids. They chose to go down this path. There's something fundamentally wrong with what's gone on here. And my colleague, the Honourable Neil Thompson, and I are going to very much continue to pursue this issue because we believe the taxpayers of Western Australia have been shortchanged tens and tens of millions of dollars because of that particular deal. Thanks very much for listening to WA This Week. Don't forget, you can subscribe to the podcast on any of your favourite podcast apps. You can also watch the live version if you're watching it now. You obviously know that. But, it's on Facebook, Spotify, YouTube or TikTok, and just by searching Dr. David Honey. Otherwise, I'm very happy to take any questions that have come up.
We have a question from James on Facebook. He's saying, I have a question for you. Do you think government departments should lead by example for cybersecurity?
Well, look, absolutely. I mean, government, the personal information that you provide to government at every level, even if it's just applying for a driver's license or the like, or, imagine you've got the transport department or the police department with traffic fine history or something like that. That's the sort of information. Yes, obviously the information government keeps, but you want that protected. I mean, these government agencies, have to be at the forefront. And boy, let me tell you, And it was really disturbing attending the briefing with the Auditor General. When you could see that the Auditor General was pretty dismayed by what her department had found. And, you know, simple stuff, making sure that people change passwords regularly, making sure that only a few people have admin access rights, making sure that you actually keep track of who accesses computers or devices or databases and records and the like. I mean, these things are crikey. This was, you might have said 20 years ago, fair enough, people weren't aware of how this could be misused. But if you look at it now, it's no excuse whatsoever. So absolutely, James, the government departments don't have to wait to be told what to do on this one. This is, cyber security 101. If they can't think about it, just go and talk to any of this. There's a number of excellent computer consultants and companies in Perth who deal in this area, and they give them the advice straight away.
Billy on TikTok has a bit of a strange question. You can decide if you answer or not. How many properties do you own?
For me, look, I own a house and I've got an interest in a family farm down in Cranbrook. But yeah, otherwise I'm not a big property owner. I've got six kids, put them all through school, so that's consumed all my money.
Okay, someone else from TikTok with a username I won't pronounce says, how about Google, which collects far more information than TikTok?
Yeah, I guess it's whether, what's the risk of that information being exposed to a third party, in this case to a state actor. Now, why have the US government and New Zealand and the federal government, why have they targeted or in fact banned that TikTok use? They're worried that the Chinese Communist government could have direct access to that information. Now, I understand there's debate, and I've read about this debate in the paper, but they're concerned that could happen. It's nothing to do with that it being Chinese. And I think, you all know that, and I'm a great supporter of the Chinese community in Western Australia and in Australia. So it's not about that topic. It's about a government, a hostile government at certain stages, having access potentially to people's personal information. So that's the concern. And I think that threat hasn't been discussed, or in fact, I don't think anyone's made a comment that Google is used or could be used for that purpose.
Okay, we're getting all questions on TikTok and not on Facebook, so hopefully more come in, but I'll ask this one. Have you been keeping up with the Moira Deeming situation in Victoria?
I will say I haven't followed it closely. I'm aware there's a lot of controversy about this. Look, I will say, I think I've said this before, as a matter of principle, I try not to make comment about my colleagues, either locally and in particular in other parts of Australia. I will make a general comment, and that is, I think holding members of parliament accountable for the behaviour of people who have been uninvited, who weren't invited to an event and have expressed some views that have outraged a lot of people, I don't think you can hold the member of parliament responsible for that. And I think sometimes there can be an overreaction, in this case. But as I say, I haven't followed it closely, but I think sometimes we see an overreaction. And will say as a generality, look, I have lots of meetings. Imagine I have a meeting with someone and then subsequently it turns out a person at that meeting had particular views that people found offensive. Well, it wouldn't be fair to hold me accountable for those other people's views. And I think that that principle should apply here.
Danielle Grillo, I hope I'm pronouncing his name right, asks, are the Liberals still conservative?
Look, I think it's really interesting. The Liberal Party has all, that name was chosen deliberately at the start of the party. So, sometimes, and inside the Liberal Party, you might hear the phrase, the Liberal Party is a broad church. And I know you're not allowed to mention the name church these days, but, the Liberal Party is a broad church and there are a wide range of views. The Liberal Party's never been a sort of a straight laissez-faire, we're just here for big business. In fact, Menzies was really keen to point out that the Liberal Party was the party for forgotten Australians, those large people, more on the conservative side, but in the centre, who tend to get ignored and tend to miss out, quite often. They're the people that pay all the tax, but don't necessarily get privileges and that others do. So if I think the Liberal Party is still true to its roots, we are a broad organisation. We have a broad range of views. And the truth is there are some members of the Liberal Party who are pretty strict, laissez-faire, individuals. There are some, the Liberal Party, you'd say, verge on what they is popularly called the socially progressive side. But I think we're true to our roots.
All right. And geez, Curtis, so I think we'll finish on this because we don't have any more questions. It says, I love your live streams. Thank you for providing your time.
Well, look, good. Thanks very much. And look, we'll end there. And look, thanks very much. Thanks for the questions. Thanks for watching. And as always, please give us your feedback. I just really appreciate that. That just helps us all the time. Thank you.